is the UR Business Network.
Welcome to the Medical Travel Show on the UR Business Network. This is Elizabeth Ziyamba, and I'm here today with my co-host, Irving Stackpole.
This is Irving, and I'm delighted to welcome to the show today Dr. Arlen Myers, who is the professor of otolaryngology at the University of Colorado Medical School, and importantly is the founder, CEO, and president of the Society of Physician Entrepreneurs, a global biomedical and health innovation incubator. And thank you very much for being with us on the show today, Dr. Myers.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
So what I'd like to do is I'd like to start with an open question about the role of technology. You know, we hear a lot about telemedicine and teleradiology and telehealth. What is the proper role for technology in the proliferation of international medical services?
Well, I'd say we don't know. Right now, but just a couple of general themes and observations. First of all, medicine in general and global care, medical travel, medical tourism, whichever term you want to use, is evolving into a what I call a digital platform. That's a combination of a physical brick-and-mortar delivery channel, which has been around since the beginning of medicine, but now is being supplemented with digital health technology. So the similar analogy is Barnes & Noble 30 years ago. So if you wanted to buy a book, you had to go to brick-and-mortar Barnes & Noble. You had to physically buy the book. If you didn't like it, you had to physically return it to the place, maybe get cash, maybe get credit. But as we all know, e-commerce has evolved to the point where it's significantly supplemented brick-and-mortar retail sales. Now, this is the time of year where it seems every day you'll hear more about Black Tuesday, Purple Wednesday, Green Thursday, whatever, about how people are buying stuff online. The reality is that actually only about 6 to 10% of all retail sales are done online, despite what you hear in the media, and you might think that more is done online. But that's really not the case. So the take-home message is, in healthcare, there will evolve, and there continues to evolve, a digital presence. What kind of digital technologies are being used, whether it's social media, telemedicine, patient portals, et cetera, remains to be seen, because at this point, it's an experiment, and no one has really pinpointed the business model that is delivering value at a profit that makes sense. So I think the answer to your question is we don't know. There's lots of experimentation going on. Some do it better than others, and I think it just remains to be seen which ones works and which one work and which ones don't.
We certainly see that the public, at least in the United States, Western Europe, and Canada that have been surveyed, are very interested in utilizing email and telehealth in the delivery of services. So the interest among the consumers seems to be there, isn't it?
Well, the interest in the consumer is there. The problem is the interest in the doctor is not. And that's a whole other story. So, you know, I mean, you're familiar with the data. 80-90%, if you ask a room of 100 patients, how many of you want to connect to your doctor by email, most of the hands in the room, like 85-86%, will go up. If you take 100 doctors in a room and you say, how many of you really want to communicate with your patients by email, I think the latest survey was maybe 8 to 12% actually communicate with their patients via email. Now, there are a lot of patient portals. There are a lot of meaningful use demands that might drive up patient portal use and response. But the fact of the matter is there's a disconnect between what patients want and what doctors are willing to provide.
Arlen, how do you see that gulf being bridged? Consumers are certainly driving the international medical travel market, And we see that providers, especially providers outside the United States, are being very responsive to the opportunities that are presented. How do you see that we can close that gap between what the consumers want and what doctors are willing to do? And if doctors, particularly in the United States, are not willing to make those adjustments, do you see that having an impact on the international medical travel market?
Well, you have several questions there, but fundamentally what I would say is that, like most people, doctors don't do things unless they have to. So at this point, I don't think they do it because I don't think they think they have to. They're overburdened with what they're trying to do. They're trying to keep their head above water. They're trying to deal with all the regulatory compliance issues. They're getting hammered by decreased reimbursements and increased costs. They're losing faith in society and vice versa. They perceive there's damage to the physician-patient relationship, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So now when you introduce international care, and doctor, here's why you should take care of someone from China, it just doesn't resonate. They have too many things on their mind. They're just trying to survive, particularly in private practice. Now, big integrated delivery networks that are trying to become hospital systems have a different agenda. So to answer your question, I don't think doctors are interested in doing this, number one, because they don't have to, and number two, there are significant barriers to adoption and penetration of technologies, which really goes to what I call the ABCDEs of technology adoption by physicians. And we can get into that list, but fundamentally, again, like everyone else, doctors buy emotionally and justify rationally. And when you try to change their behavior patterns, you have your work cut out for you.
Certainly we see this in everything from physician office billing to the adoption of electronic health records within the context of large systems. Everything you're saying is borne out on the ground, as they say. The role of the technology in putting a destination, Costa Rica or Korea or Germany or even Saudi Arabia, putting that destination on a competitive position with other destinations, does technology, in your opinion, have the kind of capacity to actually shift the competitive balance between nations or between providers?
I think it depends. This applies to let's just take telemedicine as an example. As we all know, telemedicine is evolving fairly quickly. On the other hand, we've had the same telemedicine conversation for 65 years in terms of the barriers and adoption and overcoming it and all that. But if you apply it to domestic, just dealing locally and expanding the concept internationally, my view is that in some instances, technology is a solution, and in other instances, it's the problem. For example, some people feel that technology significantly interferes with the doctor-patient relationship, significantly interferes with workflow, does not add value, is marketing. It's just a gimmick, and it really doesn't add to improve patient outcomes, reduce costs, and a better patient experience. So if you really ask, where's the beef? We still have a long way to go, in my opinion, to demonstrate that. So when you expand that notion internationally, the bottom line to me, to those people who are trying to create these processes and systems and platforms, is it depends. There are some patients who love technology and could care less whether they see a doctor face-to-face.
Uh-huh.
The same holds true for e-commerce. On the other hand, a significant number of patients still go to independent bookstores, pay 30% more to touch and feel and smell the books. It's the same deal in healthcare, except on steroids, to use a pun. But that's the way I see it. So the challenge is marketing, marketing, marketing. Identify your customer segment. What is their problem? How do they want it solved? And how do you deliver it at a profit?
So I hear the role of technology in the medical literature. I read about it, and I read about the remarkable breakthroughs. But I also know that we as human beings see technology as both a boon and a threat. And behind all of that, in all of what you've just said, the physician plays an enormously important role. And I know in our early discussions, Arlen, we talked about the role of the physician in international healthcare. I wonder if you would, for the audience, elaborate a little further on how you see that role in international or cross-border healthcare.
Well, obviously, as a doctor and as a business person, maybe that's not so obvious. I mean, I see it as the primary intermediary. The traditional physician-patient relationship, in large part up to this time, has depended on a physician, number one, placing the interest of the patient above other interests, and number two, acting as the patient's advocate to identify proper care, whether that's across the hall, across the street, across the city, or across an ocean. So I see physician referral and continuity and medical referral management as a keystone of international care. In other words, I believe the present B2C model is dysfunctional and creates all kinds of problems. I would like to see the industry evolve into a more physician-to-physician or physician-to-healthcare facility referral model, not just because it's what we've done for 2,000 years, but because I think it's better for the patient. It is a better way to assure continuity of care. It's a better way to reduce liability and potential malpractice action. It's a better way to exchange global healthcare information. It's a better way to monitor quality and cost. I just think it's a better way to do business. Unfortunately, it involves physicians being involved in the model.
Yes.
And if you don't want to be involved in the model, then you're just jousting at windmills.
Yes, this came up in two prior interviews that we recently had. We had Sharon Cleefield from Harvard Medical School as a guest, and we had Glenn Cohen, whom I believe you know, who's
right.
just written a rather lengthy book, and excellent book, by the way, on the subject of medical malpractice and liability, the ethical and legal issues associated with international or cross-border healthcare. And certainly, as you say, the role of the physician is in a pivotal role for referring and in a pivotal role for receiving. So a patient of yours, Dr. Myers, who returns from China after having had head or neck surgery, would come to you complaining of something or other, and you then have to try to peel apart what the issues are. That's a key issue in this cross-border healthcare dynamic.
Well, that's a key issue. It's certainly, and you ask yourself, so why would I do that? I mean, on the one hand, the answer is because you're a doctor, and that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take care of people who show up with problems. The reality, though, is it's not that simple. There are liability issues, there are documentation issues, there are cultural competence issues, there are trust issues, there are reimbursement issues, et cetera, et cetera. And they're just things we have to deal with. We can't just put them under the rug and say, well, you're a doctor, do it. It's not going to work.
Right.
It's certainly a complicated dynamic, whether we're talking about a patient and a physician down the street or a patient and a physician on the other side of the globe. I'm surmising that from the title of the organization that you have founded, the Society of Physician Entrepreneurs, that there might be some innovative prospective solutions that you offer through that organization. Would you talk a little bit about what the Society of Physician Entrepreneurs is all about?
Sure. The Society of Physician Entrepreneurs was founded by myself and several others officially in January of 2011. So we'll be celebrating our fourth birthday this January. We're a global nonprofit biomedical and health innovation and entrepreneurship network. Our mission is to help our members get their ideas to patients. And the underlying unmet need is most doctors and other health professionals have very good ideas, they just don't know what to do with them. So we provide them with education, resources, and networks through an international chapter network to basically help them move their idea through the pipeline. We do all that for the enormous amount of $50 a year. And the basic idea is to just connect a bunch of dots around the world to advance innovation.
Could you give us an example of something that's been suggested that you're working on?
Well, I mean, I could give several personal examples. And just as a disclaimer, as Irving knows, you know, I'm a co-founder of a company called MedVoice, which is a global physician referral management company. And so as an entrepreneur and as a physician, I'm facing the same issues that everyone else is in this conversation. But there are, whether it's a biomedical drug, device, diagnostic, vaccine that someone wants to move to market or to a patient, or whether it's a health innovation like medical travel, which in my mind is an example of an innovative care delivery channel that still has issues we need to work through, or whether it's a digital health platform, there are many, many physicians who are becoming more and more interested in digital health and care delivery innovation, whether it's direct payment practices, whether it's retail-based clinics, whether it's online reputation management, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there are many, many ways that physicians can create value at a profit in addition or instead of seeing patients, and that's what SOAP is all about.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Arlen. It's always a pleasure talking with you and catching up on all the innovations that you're bringing to the sector. And we would love to have you come back to talk a little bit more about how you view what's happening in the sector. But in the meantime, if you would, just please tell our audience how they can reach you.
Sure. The best way to get in touch with me by email is Arlen, A-R-L-E-N dot Myers, M-E-Y-E-R-S at UC Denver. That's University of Colorado Denver dot edu. And if they're interested in learning more about SOAP, it's at soapnet.org, S-O-P-E-net.org. And again, thanks for the opportunity to be on your show.
Well, thank you, Dr. Myers. As always, a pleasure talking with you. And this is Irving Stackpole. You have been listening to The Medical Travel Show on the UR Business Network.
This is Elizabeth Zayemba, and thank you for listening.
The UR Business Network. We mean business.